Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Welcome. Grab your favorite morning beverage and join us for Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. You don't know me, but I'm your brother. Sampling the news desserts of the week, here is your host, Jim Santel.
And good morning. We're back for the second hour of our inaugural broadcast. Very excited to be with you. Thank you so much for joining me. Also, Connor here in the Waukesha studios of WMK Waukesha, 540 AM, 101 FM. It's the Shaw in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Also broadcasting throughout the state, other places in the Midwest. And Mike Crute, who most thoughtfully invited me, kindly, generously invited me to take this spot on Saturday morning, tells me that this broadcast will also be rebroadcast on Sunday mornings for those who are not joining us on a regular basis on Saturday morning. But this morning we are live. We're live in downtown Waukesha. Connor joining me here in the studio for Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. Every single Saturday, we're going to spend more time delving a little bit more deeply into some of the issues that Mike and Dom and others and I will chat about during the week as those news stories percolate up for your attention and your focus. And today in this inaugural program, we're talking about one of the most serious challenges facing America in the 21st century, and that is firearms, and in particular, the onslaught, the devastation, the disaster, the crisis that is our firearms use and abuse, taking the lives of quite literally great significant numbers of our population. Right before the break and for much of the second portion of the first hour, I was talking with you about what the Second Amendment means historically, that up until 2008, the United States Supreme Court had not specifically said that there was an independent individual right to gun ownership, but that changed in 2008 when, in fact, Heller became the law of the land, and Antonin Scalia told us not only about the right of individual ownership in the home and use, but also the notion that you can, in fact, impose reasonable regulations and conditions on everything from the manufacture, the sale, the transfer, the use of weapons. That's also a part of the Second Amendment under this case called Heller. In this second hour this morning, as we continue this discussion on an otherwise beautiful Saturday morning of this very somber and very grave discussion of guns in America, when it chat about what the Supreme Court's going to be doing, frankly, perhaps this month, probably no later than the next 4 to 5 weeks, in a second case called Bruen, B-R-U-E-N. We're going to chat about where that case comes from in the 14-year wake of Heller, what the issue is there, specifically focusing on whether there is a constitutional right to use and carry firearms beyond the home, on the streets of America, the sidewalks of Waukesha, other places throughout the United States of America, what that means, what is the dimension of that, and what kinds of conditions can be imposed even on that right, if indeed, as we suspect it will, the Supreme Court finds that there is such a constitutional right to own and use firearms beyond the home. We are going to be taking callers this hour and, frankly, every Saturday morning as we discuss some of these issues in greater detail. That number is 844-967-2789. We're thrilled to get your comments. Delighted to have your questions as they come in. And before I get back to Bruen and the legacy of Heller and what we will likely anticipate from the Supreme Court, let's take the first of our callers. Mike is in Sheboygan. Mike, we're glad to have you with us this morning. What's your thought or comment or question today on Morning Cannolis? And Mike, are you there? I think... All right, Mike, you're there. Very good. Glad to have you with us. And Mike, are you with us? I thought I heard you there for just a moment or so.
I am here. I can hear you.
Okay, great. What's your question? I'm glad to have you with us.
Thank you. Congratulations on the new show. Really
Thanks
appreciate
so much.
Your service to our sanity.
Right.
And I guess Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Mike. Glad to have you with
okay.
us.
Okay. And I really appreciate this the same discussion that you always provide us, but this is a great opportunity for you to get into the weeds. As a former Army officer and a former believer, from my vantage point, it seems that the flag, patriotism, and faith has been commandeered. In that light, knowing what the Constitution says and what the Bill of Rights and Second Amendment written later said, and I believe if I understand your vita, you studied under Antonin Scalia, is that true?
That is correct. I don't want to say that I was at the top of my class in the University of Chicago. I wasn't one of his clerks, but he was one of my professors, administrative law, and certainly knew him and got to know him a little bit. This is before, again, this dates me tremendously, but dates me because Antonin Scalia was about to be plucked up by Ronald Reagan, be placed on the Court of Appeals, and then went on to the Supreme Court after that. So yes, a long time ago, but did know him as a professor.
Well, nevertheless, with your undergrad degrees from Marquette in English and history, you were a human being before you were a lawyer. So
that's
my
correct.
Question is, and I know you don't like to speculate, but that your comments this morning on what Antonin Scalia said about Heller, it appears to me that if he were alive today, he could not possibly have gone along with this bastardization or using of the Second Amendment as the blunt cudgel that is being applied to it. And at the very least, and this will be the vernacular, he must be rolling in his grave, seeing as how it's been taken over and basically used as a blunt weapon. I know you don't want to speculate, but I'm going to ask you to do so anyways, because I bet I'm not the only one asking this question.
Absolutely, Mike. And it's perfectly okay to speculate, right? Because that's what our talk radio is all about. I so appreciate your question, your comment, and your calling in this morning. Because to underscore that point, yes. You know, the language that I read from Heller, some of it's in a footnote or two, but most of it's key to the opinion. And so this is Antonin Scalia, again, this icon sometimes of conservative politics out there, but certainly a jurist, someone who was articulating on a regular basis a very conservative view not that long ago, just 14 years ago, certainly in my lifetime, I suspect yours as well, Mike, saying that, yes, you've got this right. And it is joined with the same obligation, the right, the prerogative of government to impose conditions on that. And so when our present president says, as he did just a couple of days ago, that this right is not unconstitutional, he's not making that up. That's the law of the United States of America. And again, I would encourage, Mike, I know you do it and others do it, to listen religiously to this station, others. Take a look at what Scalia said in Heller. Read that language when he talks about all these kinds of things that governments can, in fact, and will do, should do to keep us safe and secure. That is as much of the law. And yes, I will speculate to say that, gosh, Scalia, if nothing more, was a man of precedent. And I would like to think, along with you, that today, if he was around to see the misinterpretation of what he wrote and the alignment of the Second Amendment almost exclusively with this notion that it's gun ownership and that's it, he would balk at that. And yes, maybe he is rolling in his grave, as you said, Mike, but he would certainly look back to Heller and say, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. I gave you this right to own guns in your home, but also the obligation and the prerogative of the government, local, state, and federal, to keep us safe and secure, and to do that by imposing regulations legislatively that are out there, and we'll chat more about those. So very much appreciate your comment, Mike, and could not agree with you more. Appreciate the opportunity to speculate and to go down that road. Thanks so much, Mike, for calling in. We've got another caller who's also calling in. We'll take that question as well, and then we'll get back to what the Supreme Court's going to be doing. Mark, you've been on the line for a little while. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate your comments and questions this morning as well.
Well, not a problem. I haven't been on the line that long. Yeah, it's interesting how our judiciary and our lawmakers fail to, you know, that they complain about, that's not enumerated in the Constitution. Madison made it pretty clear that they didn't enumerate everything in the Constitution that they might be called upon to do to promote the general welfare, and that it's interesting that some of our, you know, court judge, you know, the, what the irony to me is in the recent thing coming out from Alito is that he says, well, it's not enumerated in the Constitution. Well, neither is the power of the Supreme Court to decide the constitutionality of laws. I mean, it's not enumerated in the Constitution. Of course, we've had this discussion before. That's whole Madison versus Marbury, and that, you know, where they assume that power for themselves, that you know, that Alito is claiming of this, you know, power of the court to do the, you know, whatever they want to do, and that it's interesting because that's going to play out over a lot of things. I mean, there'll probably be a Supreme Court decision on gun ownership and where you can carry your guns. You know, be able to carry them everywhere, which is not what we want to see happen. What do we want to have? A world where politics are decided, like in the movie The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, where the powers would bring in their, you know, their thugs to come in and kind of intimidate everybody because they're wearing firearms wherever they go. And I'm a firearm owner, but I don't feel it necessary to go packing everywhere I go because society is not that unsafe where you need to be packing wherever you go.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's no, and there should be limits on magazine sizes. I mean, I've brought this up before, is that what Bill Ruger actually penned in 1989, apparently in the letter to Congress after a mass shooting, they never intended his firearms to be, for military-type firearms to be used for civilian use. And no honest man needs more than 10 rounds of his magazine.
That's correct. Sure,
I saw that
sure.
Nitwit from Florida. You know, explaining his firearms, and waving around, saying, "Well, this doesn't fit in this one." You know, the 10-round magazine. Well, of course it doesn't fit because it wasn't designed for that particular firearm. Because I pull out a Natchez catalog that I got from a distributor that where they sell magazines, and you can get 10-round magazines for probably each and every of those firearms that he has.
All kinds of things. You know, that again, make the practical application just very important, right? And to go back to your initial point, Mark, which I could not agree with more. Many of these things are not in the Constitution, including Marbury versus Madison, this notion that the Supreme Court is going to tell us what the law is. That's where it started. But again, as we have chatted before, I think your articulation of this general concept, the Constitution's got to be a living document, right? James Madison, George Mason, these people that we revere, I revere, you revere, they would not understand it and be horrified by, frankly, many of the things that we do today, 200 years later, including this radio station, right? The lights in our and our ceilings, the cars we drive, the very products that we engage on a regular basis. And it's got to be a living constitution. We talk a lot in the civil rights area about penumbras. And at some point down the road, we'll chat about this other case having to do with abortion rights and privacy rights. We'll do that some other Saturday morning. But your point, Mark, is so well taken, which is it's not there. The Supreme Court has got to have the prerogative to be able to expand on and make the Constitution living for today. I want to chat more about that right after this next break. I appreciate very much your comments, Mark. I want to talk more about this next case coming up, but the Supreme Court is going to have another opportunity to tell us what the law is under Marbury versus Madison. Case coming out of New York called Bruin. We'll do that right after the break. So much appreciate the calls already, the comments, and we'll be right after. We'll do more of that right after this break on Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel, WAUK Waukesha, 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Well, it's soon.